Hello, Mid-America. This is John Prosper, broadcasting from the heartland with your Harvest Minute. Well, I just left off talking with Willa May down at the Farmer's Grain Terminal. She's just a little country blessing most of the time. Knows the markets real well and what's going on about town, cause she keeps her ears open, if you know what I mean. It must be a good trait, though, because she wittily reminded me that it says repeatedly in that treasured good book that those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Ha! We always say that in jest here in Cornfield County, but it's like a sunrise chanticleer cock-a-doodle-doo when you read it. It reminds you to wake up and pay attention because you might learn something. You know, keeps you from being a dumb cluck. Well, for a while there, we thought ramblin' Jimmy Dean Murdoch fit that stereotype. Acts and looks like he was raised in a barn sometimes, but by meditative purpose or by second nature, he seems to have mastered a form of good old boy dissimulation and hustle that likely disguises his true reasoning and intellect. Some say he could gibber a squirrel out of its nuts. Even back when we were strong striplings, Jimmy, in a brotherly way, would volunteer me and himself for farm duties because he knew I wasn't afraid of work. Looking back, it was often a long, hot day in the hayloft with my partner by default, because his motor tended to overheat and be an idle a lot. The boy's well is drilled a little bit deeper than you might think, though. I was slopping hogs down on Bear Creek the last full moon when Jimmy stopped by to just ruminate before the morning glories opened up. Funny how I got that old feeling that I was about to be involuntarily enlisted for service. But it seemed to be no more than neighborly notions, superficially. Well, Jimmy Dean must have had one too many sausages for breakfast that day, because he was of a mind to chew the fat. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, however, for fear a boar might get me down, until he raised his voice and startled me as I heard him say, "Jesus!" You know, Jimmy's a regular at the old Berea Church on the hill there, just off Route D, south of Kingdom City. So I heard him say, "Did you ever think at all, John, about that grain seed we put in the ground every year? Unless it's buried, it's dead to the world. It ain't never any more than just one lonely little seed. But if it dies, you know, gets buried by the planter, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over, yielding us a rich harvest. It's designed to multiply. It's changed right there in the ground, I don't know how, and becomes a root of a plant producing many more seeds." About now, I was beginning to look to see if J.D. was chawing on Jimson weed, but, heaven knows, he was making some peculiar sense out of a mundane matter. Through a latent kernel sacrifice, many others come to life. Well, slap my knee, it is kind of dumbfounding how giving up one's life can actually cause it to abound. The thought occurred to me that, in the same way, if a person died to himself sometimes, he might be of benefit to a whole lot more folks as well. Well, seeing that my mind was beginning to grind into a higher gear, and that the sun was getting up, Jimmy pulled his brim down and started to mosey back towards his 4x4. He paused, though, and then turned and said, "Geez, I almost forgot. The FFA needs some equipment unloaded down at the fairgrounds this weekend. I told him you and I would help him out. That is, if he ain't doing nothing. Seems like they can always count on us, and it'll surely be a blessing, too." Somehow I felt like my seed had just been involuntarily buried again. Just like old times, Jimmy Dean. But that was the longest way around the barn. Looks like I'll be rearranging my schedule a bit for the weekend. I'm telling you, there really is a lot more to that good-hearted old boy than meets the eye.